Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 10th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 108, paragraph 2. Today's readers are Jane S., Wendy B., Leslie W., and Kathy Jo P. The share ID for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, September 9th, 2018, is 11,892. That's 11892. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 11,893. 11893. And our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. So OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jane S. to read the 12 steps. Jane, can you press star one to unmute?
Kathleen, this is Melanie. I can step in.
Okay, thanks, Melanie.
You betcha. Melanie, she recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Melanie. And I'll now ask Wendy B. to read the 12 traditions, please.
Hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, our OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Those problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, O-Readers Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, O-Readers Anonymous have no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Wendy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter 2 Wise on page 108, starting with paragraph 2. Try not to condemn your alcoholic husband. And we'll be reading through 5 paragraphs, ending with he wants to want to stop. And we'll be commenting on all 5 paragraphs. I will now ask Leslie W. to begin reading.
Thanks so much for your service. This is Leslie W. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Try not to condemn your alcoholic husband no matter what he says or does. He is just another very sick, unreasonable person. Treat him when you can as though he had pneumonia. When he angers you, remember that he is very ill. There is an important exception to the foregoing. We realize some men are thoroughly bad intentioned, that no amount of patience will make any difference. An alcoholic of this temperament may be quick to use this chapter as a club over your head. Don't let him get away with it. If you are positive he is one of the types that you may feel you had better leave. Is it right to let him ruin your life and the lives of your children, especially when he has before him a way to stop his drinking and abuse if he really wants to pay the price? The problem with which you struggle usually falls within one of 4 categories. 1, your husband may be only a heavy drinker. His drinking may be constant, or it may be heavy only on certain occasions. Perhaps he spends too much money for liquor. It may be slowing him up mentally and physically, but he does not see it. Sometimes he is a source of embarrassment to you and his friends. He is positive he can handle his liquor, that it does him no harm, that drinking is necessary in his business. He would probably be insulted if he were called an alcoholic. This world is full of people like him. Some will moderate or stop altogether, and some will not. Of those who keep on, a good number will become true alcoholics after a while. 2, your husband is showing lack of control, for he is unable to stay on the water wagon even when he wants to. He often gets entirely out of hand when drinking. He admits this is true, but is positive that he will do better. He has begun to try, with or without your cooperation, various means of moderating or staying dry. Maybe he is beginning to lose his friends. His business may suffer somewhat. He is worried at times and is becoming aware that he cannot drink like other people. He sometimes drinks in the morning and through the day also to hold his nervousness in check. He is remorseful after serious drinking bouts and tells you he wants to stop. But when he gets over the spree, He begins to think once more how he can drink moderately next time. We think this person is in real danger. These are the earmarks of a real alcoholic. Perhaps he can still tend to business fairly well. He has by no means ruined everything. As we say among ourselves, he wants to stop. We think this person is in danger, that he wants to stop. This is, you know, when I read about husband number two, it seems to me like this is it. You know, this is the point where if somebody really wants to change, somebody really wants to stop, that they might still be able to stop at this point. If he wants to, you know, if they want to. I believe I was once at this place where I could have stopped eating compulsively if I had wanted to, long ago. But, you know, I never really wanted to. I never wanted to stop. only when the consequences got dire. You know, when it showed up on my body, because, you know, I'm, as an addict, you know, I'm selfish and, you know, vain, of course. So, you know, I'm not, if I can get away with it, I'm gonna try to get away with it. But when I start walking around with 20, 30, 40, 50 extra pounds on me, then, there might be a problem. Then I might want to do something. You know, it started to affect my body negatively, and it started to affect my child as well, because of the fact that I actually did see the direct connection, because of the fact that when my disease was at its worst, I was nursing a 3-month-old baby who got all of his nutrition from me, and you can imagine that's not a good thing. And so, of course, I didn't know I was a compulsive overeater at the time. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just knew that I couldn't stay away from certain foods. And every day I would try to do better. I'm going to stay away from this today. I'm not going to have that. you know, I had no idea how it was affecting, you know, everybody else around me, especially not just my child, but my husband. You know, thank God that my child was too little to remember what I was like at that time. And he's never really seen me in active disease because I came into program when he was very little. I didn't get recovered until I started listening to this line. I had been in face-to-face meetings for 5 years and never worked through all the 12 steps. I just couldn't get it. You know, it took me a really long time to get it. I really thought I could diet my way out of this problem. If I was really honest with myself, and Overeaters Anonymous helped me to get honest, you know, I never realized what dishonesty ran through my core until I came into these rooms and I was confronted with that. You know, people who in whom the problem had been solved, you know, especially on this line, confronted me, lovingly confronted me on my dishonesty and my fear and my selfishness. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for this program of action. I'm grateful there was a way out of that hell that I was living in and that everybody else was living in right alongside with me. This disease. Yeah. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Great. Thank you so much, Leslie. Okay. So if you're just joining us, we're in the chapter 2 Wives on page 108, and we're starting with paragraph 2, Try Not to Condemn Your Alcoholic Husband, reading through 5 paragraphs, ending with he wants to want to stop. So who would like to share on these 5 paragraphs this morning?
Laura W.
Laura W.
Melanie C.
Melanie C. Anyone else?
Gina R.
Jump in? I'm sorry, Gina R?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Gina.
Doug S.
Doug S. It's a good time to share if you haven't before.
Patty T.
Was that Patty T?
Yes, Patty T.
Bruce
okay.
E. Bruce,
Bruce
E.
Okay, that's a good lineup. We'll stop there. We have Laura W., Melanie C., Gina R., Doug S., Patty T., and Bruce E. So Laura W., go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, two wives. You know, this entire chapter gives me such a clear view of how I behave and how I acted while I was in my disease and what other people see in me, my family especially. You know, I like the categories that they talk about. You know, sometimes he's a source of embarrassment to you and his friends, and he's positive he can handle his liquor. I was so positive that I could stop restricting and I could stop purging through exercise at any time. It's not doing any harm, I thought. And actually, I was in a business where being thin was more acceptable than not being thin. And, you know, it was necessary in my business. And people at work actually, you know, gave me accolades when I continued to lose weight until it got to a point where, you know, the point of no return, where I kind of woke up one morning and I thought, how did I get here? How did I wake up feeling like I can't go to work, I have to work out, I can't eat today, and I physically can't lift my body out of bed? Like, how did it get this bad? And, you know, he has to want to stop. I wanted to stop. I really did. If you hooked me up to a lie detector test, I probably would have passed it. I really did want to stop. However, I did not want to do the work that is required to get recovered. And today, thanks be to God, 14 years of recovery, back to back, working these steps over and over and over again, maintaining a 25-pound weight gain, I am recovered today, and I'm free of that mental obsession that could not get me out of bed. This progression here, you know, from 1 to 2 to 3, and we'll read more and more about 4, and you know, this is the progression of the disease. This is not, you know, this is not a joke. This is a deadly, deadly disease. So anyway, I'm grateful to be reminded of this, and that it's not just my selfishness, and it's not just all about me. This affects my entire family, my colleagues, my coworkers. This extends way more than just about me. And to harm these people in my disease was something that I needed to make amends for. And that process of the amends has brought me such freedom and given me such a gift. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura. And Melanie C., you're up, followed by Gina R.
Good morning. Thanks. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I would just like to say ditto to what Laura said, but I'll add a little bit more from my own personal experience that she may not have had. And that is, this is an overall arching idea about how I was in my family, and I will probably identify more with Category 3 and 4, but for today I'd like to say that my dad, my husband didn't have the privilege of this book living with me the 25 years before I got into recovery. And bless his heart, he tried the best he knew how to keep Mama happy. And actually, it was to the detriment of his own soul. He had lapsed into, when I saw in hindsight when I got into recovery, he had lapsed into such a serious, solemn character from what he had been before, because of me. He never, ever, one time, ever condemned me. Actually, it was quite the contrary. I don't believe that that man has an evil bone in his body or a selfish bone in his body. And his whole countenance was to see that whatever he could offer and sacrifice to me that would make me okay with what he was willing to do every step of the way. And I was definitely unreasonable and demanding and not well. Had he seen this book, perhaps my life would have been different, totally different, quite frankly, because I was just like a drunk under the bridge had it not been for him, the gratitude and the humility that I have in my heart about and what he is for me now. I get what this disease does. I thought it was just food. I just thought it was food and that it really couldn't possibly hurt anybody. It was just obesity, right? It was, couldn't possibly hurt anybody. And that my personality was developed not as a result of the erred, skewed thinking that I had because I had a wet brain, but it was in fact because things around me needed to have managed, be managed by me. And I've since learned, you know, that my life and my day to day, from the bottom of my heart, is to do whatever that I can do to make amends for what people had to endure as I was an untreated addict for, well, at that particular time before I got into recovery, was 50 years, an untreated addict for 50 years. It was absolutely a runaway freight train, bulldozing my way through other people's lives and like a strikeout, just annihilating people. And they never said a thing. They looked at me like deer in the headlights. They didn't know what to do with me, but they knew that something was wrong with them. And for now and forever, I have the gratitude and the hope if I follow these guidelines and these steps every single day, I will never have to do that to another person again. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Melanie. And Gina R., you're up next, followed by Doug S.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I live in Green Valley, Arizona. The word that really jumped out for me was condemn. And that really does kind of sum up, I would say, the crux of most of my character defects. And other synonyms for that are to belittle, blow the whistle on, call down, castigate, criticize, denounce, deprecate, disapprove, disparage, find fault. I mean, it goes on and on. And I'm looking at this with respect to myself and how I saw myself when I was trying to want to stop. And I basically condemned myself. I really didn't understand this, that my eating could be seen in the same context as someone's addiction to alcohol. And I'm so very grateful now that I do. And then when I flip my perspective and I look at this through the eyes of my husband, boy, it sure makes sense. And it, going from the stages, and we're only looking at the two stages today, stage one and stage two. But for me, because I wasn't one of the people that packed on, you know, like a whole other person on my body, it just amazes me that people have done that and are able to get out of that. Or on the other side, you know, that I didn't starve myself down to a half a person. Because I wasn't in that space, I really didn't think I had a problem. I just thought I needed to lose a little extra weight. I did not understand that it was I had diseased thinking, and I did not know how to recognize, manage, or allow my higher power to help me control my emotional nature. And so today, I don't look at this so much in the food context, but I look at it with my thinking. And so you know, where it says his drinking may be constant or it may be heavy only on certain occasions, I just insert the word thinking there. My thinking may be constant or it may be heavy only on certain occasions. So that's where I get to have my higher power through the work that I do and through my connection and contact with my fellows and just suiting up and showing up every day. And I am living a life that feels free. Now, do I get snagged up sometimes? Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm very grateful that I know what to do now. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina R. And Doug S., you're up next, followed by Patty T. Doug, can
sorry,
you press star?
I didn't press it. Sorry about that. Hi, Doug S. in Southern California. Gratefully beginning a day of recovery today, and grateful for all the sharing that has come already on the line, and grateful for this reading today where I can really relate to this passage because I once again become aware that I cannot eat like other people. I become remorseful after serious eating bouts, but the problem is, I think when I get over the spree, I begin to think that once more that I can eat moderately next time. And I am grateful for the recovery that comes by working the steps and working this program. And I haven't listened in a few days, and I'm grateful to be able to begin this journey. And I know there are so many people that when they listen to people share, and if there's a struggle going on, I know that they are rooting for them, and I feel that. And I'm going to listen to the recording of this because the first share that came, you know, where she said, diet my way out of it, you know, I think that I'm a very effective dieter, but I don't want to be a dieter. I want to be in recovery. I want to be following the leading of my higher power, and I know he cares for me. I love it when it says we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him, and I know how much God cares for me and is also waiting to guide me and lead me if I'm willing to, and I want to be in recovery. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Doug S. And Patty T., you're up next, followed by Bruce E.
Hi, this is Patty T. from Southern California, recovered and very grateful. Gosh, thanks everybody for their shares this morning and the moderator for your service. You know, I really just have to ditto everything that's already been said. As we were reading this, I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds like me in the stages of my compulsive overeating, and that, you know, 25 years that I was in therapy, not willing to admit that I was an addict. You know, that you know, and it says he is positive. I was positive I could handle the food, that it did me no harm, that eating was necessary in order to get through the day at the job that I despised because I wasn't doing my life's work. You know, and that I'm showing a lack of control, unable to stay on the water wagon even when she wants to. Even when I wanted to not eat, I couldn't not eat. And when it says down here, he wants to stop. I got to that point. I wanted to want to stop, but I didn't know how to do it. And therapy couldn't tell me how to do it. It didn't really help me. But part of that, the reason for that, was because I was unwilling to believe that I had an addictive personality. It was only when I came into these rooms at the age of 51 with a five-year-old emotional mentality that I began to see who I really was. And I think that, you know, the ability to get, when we put down the food, we get clarity, not just to the outside world, but to who we really are, you know, and my gratitude is all about seeing who I am. You know, I, in a sister program, I am my own qualifier. I don't need another soul in my life to qualify as an Al-Anon. I see myself and the progression of my disease so clearly in these paragraphs. And gosh, today I have neutrality around the food. Today I am able to see my shortcomings and my character defects as they happen in real time, and either able to make the amends in that moment or at least by the end of the day. It's so, oh my gosh, it's like a whole new life. And anyway, that's all I had to say, and I really thank you all for being here. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. And Bruce E., you're up, and then we'll take some more names after Bruce E. So go ahead, Bruce. Bruce, can you hit star one to unmute?
Okay, it's Bruce E. in North Carolina. And I am very good at talking to a muted line. So thanks for letting me know I was muted. I'm glad to be here today. Thanks to everybody on the call. Thanks, moderator. And I'm not sure about everything. In the very beginning here, going back to 1981 when I got off drugs and alcohol, within about 2 weeks I was binging, overeating, compulsive eating right away, and didn't think too much of it until people started pointing that out to me. Eventually, my family started hiding food from me. You got to be pretty sick to have people hiding food from you, and I was. Excuse me. And I'm not there today. I'm not that sick, but I still am because I had a slip on Saturday night, so I'm on my second day of abstinence. Looking forward to going to the Colorado convention. I'm hoping that'll get me to another level. But for 25 years or so, I finally got in the program in 89, and for over 25 years, I've been slipping. So I've got a ways to go. I got a big book sponsor, recovered big book sponsor, June 2nd, and I've been going through the steps with him. We've gotten to step 9 twice already and slipped and went back to 1. So I'm back with the doctor's opinion, and that's good because I am powerless over this. And thank God my wife never divorced me. She never did. Wonderful woman. We celebrated 34 years of marriage yesterday, and it's great. And she's threatened to separate a number of times just because of this addiction, you know, all this addictive type behavior. But, you know, then I'd correct myself and she wouldn't. But I sure need a good period of solid abstinence, and that's what I'm looking forward to. So I'm calling people every day. I'm reading the literature. I'm going on these meetings. I'm contacting my sponsor, and I'm doing everything I think I need to do, and I know it's going to come eventually. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for your support. Thanks, everybody on the line, and I pass.
And thank you, Brucey. So we're going to take some more names. We are in the chapter 2 wives on page 108, starting with paragraph 2, try not to condemn your alcoholic husband. We're reading through 5 paragraphs, ending with he wants to stop. So who would like to share on these 5 paragraphs?
Hello, this is Sue. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm not going to share because I'm on the program. And if I'm asking a question out of line, this meeting has just been incredible. Well, all the meetings are. This is just speaking to me. Is there a time at the end of the meeting for phone numbers? Because I think her name was Melody or Marilyn.
Yes, you. Well, if you stay on after the meeting, Melanie C is our newcomer greeter, and we'll be able to take your name and phone number.
Okay.
So please do that.
One for your service, and I will pass. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sue.
This is Charles.
Dorita P. Dorita P.
Charles H.
Elaine B.
Deborah G.
Elaine B. Who was the last person?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Did you get Charles H?
When I got Charles H, yes, Charles, thank you.
Jody EQ.
Jody EQ.
Marilyn Terry.
Marilyn. Okay, and let's stop there. Hopefully we'll be able to get through all of you. Marilyn, what's the last initial of your first?
T.
Say that again.
T.
G, as in George. Okay.
T is in Tom.
Oh, T is in Tom. Okay, thank you, Marilyn. Okay, Dorita P, go ahead, and you'll be followed by Elaine B.
Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, thank you. Hi, my name is Dorita P from Cleveland. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. So, yeah, I'm just going to comment on the one part. He wants to stop drinking. I didn't want to be like totally honest. Our third tradition says, if you have a desire to stop eating compulsively, you qualify, as long as you have a desire. And so to be totally honest, I didn't have a desire to stop eating. I wanted to continue eating, but I wanted to lose 100 pounds. So I couldn't do both. So, and I was just so miserable, with the food and the weight aside, I was just so miserable and so depressed that, it was either change or die. Those were my two choices. So I'm just really grateful that, and I heard an alcoholic say at a meeting that, he would drink today. He would drink today if he didn't have the consequences. And I kind of feel the same way. I mean, because like chocolate is tasty. And I know a lot of people in OA don't feel this way. They say, they don't want that stuff. That's fine. And I don't really want it, but I'm just saying if I had the opportunity to have it and not have the consequences, yes, I would eat chocolate. I would eat ice cream. Yes. But I didn't want the consequences. I didn't want the extra 100 pounds, and I didn't want, the misery. So I'm just really grateful to be here, and I want to welcome all the newcomers, the lady that spoke up, welcome, 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 and anybody else. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Dorita P. And Elaine B., you're up next, followed by Charles H.
Thank you very much, Kathleen. And everybody on the line doing service here, thank you. So glad we have a place to come and learn. And I just think about, I'm just so grateful for the writers of this book and it makes me think of Dr. Silkworth at the beginning, that it talks about, the despairing wives and the children and the impact that the addict has on their family. And I'm going to focus on the first paragraph here. Try not to condemn your alcoholic husband, no matter what he says or does. He's just another very sick, unreasonable person. Treat him when you can as though he had pneumonia. When he angers you, remember that he is very ill. This is, they're beginning to, basically, they're kind of going back through the book and teaching them what we needed to know, what we had to learn for ourselves, how to deal with these people that are really challenging for us in our households, in our lives. And just to remember that, that other people are sick, and just like us, and that having that our own serenity and our own understanding of the disease helps us with our recovery, and they're extending that to the family about them and the same kind of tools and actions that they took, the perspectives that they took in order to deal with and tolerate. And so they're beginning to lay out these four different types of people, the different places that their loved ones may be in. And just to give that understanding, you know, I thought I had a basic understanding of where I was, and my main motivation was getting engaged. I didn't want to wear size 24 or 26 wedding gown. And so so I started with this program, and I immediately saw that people who worked these steps had a serenity that that I didn't have, you know, not just right size bodies, but more peaceful minds, and really a design for a living that works. And I love that this is extended, the information is extended, not just to them, but to the families. And when I had my horrible, horrible relapse, and my husband said, "You're sick, you know, and we won't divorce, but we can live separately in this house because you've taken on a new lover, which is food," that I found this program after he did that, and our marriage is better than it ever was today as we try to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And so grateful to be able to carry the message as part of that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. And Charles H., you're up next, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, this is Charles H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I want to make a direct amends for, you know, mentioning my name 2-3 times. I don't get down like that. It ain't that serious. So I want to drill down where it says, try not to condemn your alcoholic husband or wife. And, you know, I'm going to keep it real. I do have a resentment with Bill W. for not letting Lois write this chapter. I think she was, you know, mentally and spiritually equipped to do so. But it is what it is. And so I want to make an amends, moderating. It ain't that serious because I can't moderate. So I'm type 2, used to be a type 2 diabetic, and I still can't moderate, right? That's why I'm on the line. And, I have family members. I have a community that they won't get in. I don't condemn them, and I don't judge them. And don't get me wrong, I judge every single day because I'm human. And it's humanly impossible for me not to judge. Character, I heard it on the first line, character assassinate in my mind, because my mind, I'm human. I'm finite. That's why we have this program of recovery, and I work it like my hair's on fire. Yesterday was one of them sucky days that something didn't go my way and everything else was off kilter. However, you know, my higher power gives me an opportunity, right, not to condemn today and to reconcile, right? Like to reconcile the things that's not going my way. Like I shot a music video. I told the guy I want it done. He dubbed me, and I was like, you know what? I just let it go today. I said, you know what? I don't even want it no more. I want my serenity more. And I'm not condemning that dude today, right? Like, because condemning him is like acting like I'm God. And first of all, I got to quit playing God. It don't work. It never worked, right? So I'm sick too, right? Like I got a wife, right, that I believe she's one of us, but I can't condemn her, right? You know, because that's a spirit of intolerance. And what did it say in the closing of chapter 7? A spirit of intolerance does nothing but repel people from Overeaters Anonymous. That's why a lot of people leave, because some people have a spirit of intolerance instead of tolerance. And doesn't it say in page 84, love and tolerance is our code? So that's something that's an ideal that I need to put on the forefront of my mind every single day. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Charles H. And Deborah G., followed by Jody EQ. You're up, Deborah.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service, and welcome to the newcomer. You don't ever have to live like you lived before. Welcome to a new life. And I was thinking about how I can have the tendency also to judge, but because I'm in this program now and I'm awake to how it was, I have more time to get to compassion for that one that is still unconscious and suffering. And I also have to watch for when I see someone talk about their health. And recently someone had seven strokes and a heart attack and connected it to the food. And not to push, well, this is what you need to do and this is what you need to do. Just share what I do. You know, that's all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope and what I have and the suffering that I had and being pre-diabetic. And finally, that brought me to my surrender. You know, everyone has a different surrender. And just love. Just be love. The steps, going through the steps, living the steps, and taking the steps with others just brings me back to that power in step two and to love so that I can love them. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Deborah G. So, Jody EQ, followed by Marilyn T. If you can both take 2 minutes, we might be able to fit you both in. So, Jody EQ.
Okay, sure thing. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody EQ, recovering in California. So, this chapter, Two Wives, it's a little surprising to me that Bill W. wrote the chapter, but acts as if the wives wrote it, as it says on page 104, as wives of Alcoholics Anonymous, we would like you to feel that we understand. But okay, it's all right. He has a lot of really good things to say that probably only an alcoholic could say. As far as this reading goes, one paragraph I haven't heard commented on is this one. There is an important exception to the foregoing. We realize that some men are thoroughly bad intentioned, that no amount of patience will make any difference. An alcoholic of this temperament may be quick to use this chapter as a club over your head, etc. That is a really difficult thing to determine, I feel sometimes, you know. I can see my husband, for example, as a narcissist, perhaps, but how do I know that, am I not also a narcissist? So that's a tricky thing, but there are times when people certainly are not safe and we do have to separate for a time. It's an interesting exception that he points out, that sometimes it's just not safe to stay with some people. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Jody EQ. And Marilyn T., if you have about 2 minutes, if you could do a short share.
Hi, thank you, moderator. This is Marilyn T. from Southern California. And what I really want to comment on is that I failed by at least a couple minutes or to 5 minutes to be on the line early to be one of the readers. And I want to apologize for that and make amends, and that I will not be doing it again for the rest of the month. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Marilyn. And does anyone want to do a 1.5 minute share? Okay. So let's close
Hello?
The meeting.
Hello?
Yes.
Jack? Hi, my name is Cheryl. I'm in Florida. I am new. I'm in a lot of pain. I'm like, this is, I haven't ever done phone meetings before, so this is kind of new. I've been to
Okay, Cheryl. Cheryl, if I could ask you to stay on the line after the recording has stopped, and Melanie C is our newcomer greeter, and we would love to get your name and phone number at that time, okay? And you'll get a lot of calls.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. So thank you, everyone, who shared on this meeting this morning. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy Jo P. please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.